Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Today, T is joined on the Tea Podcast by Below the co-host, the world's greatest co-host. Listen in as T and Below entertain you through witty dialogue and comments covering everything and anything two grown men can possibly discuss in anywhere from over or under an hour. Now here is your host and co-host, T and Below.
All right, Below, we're live.
Hello.
Welcome, Below, and everyone listening to the Tea Podcast for Thursday, January 16th, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 133. What is going on, Below?
You're looking a little gray. I just noticed in the light.
I don't know how you just noticed that now. I've had gray in my beard for a little bit.
Did you used to use Just for Men?
No, my beard always was dark. It was mostly dark, like, around here. This used to get it. When this grew out, this would actually get darker. It would cover up a lot of the gray. But this is where I got it later. I never had this. I never had gray in this area until about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask what age. I actually, because I was looking at some pictures of myself from about even just a year or two ago, and my facial hair was a lot darker. It's amazing. It's
different,
what happened.
Different levels, you know, like different levels of, like, if it's stubble. So you want those people, or because you were what, naturally blonde, right? Like a brown.
I had brown. I don't know. People said I had like light brown. Some people actually thought I was blonde when I actually had hair, but it was more like I would call it a brown.
I think it's because you have blue eyes, right?
Yes, I do.
I think people just assume that you have light colored hair, but you, I think, because, you know, I don't know the blue eyes, but people with like light colored hair, their shit tends to go white at the stubble level. When I take this all the way down, you could barely even see any gray in it. But when it's not, when it starts to grow out, the gray starts shining. And then when it gets long, that's it. And this stuff, like if I grew this out, this would probably cover up a little bit, but I don't grow my beard this long on the sides anymore. But you don't grow your shit out that long anymore.
No, I did a couple times. I just don't like the gray. I mean, I keep it with the stubble type look, sometimes a little bit longer. But
you're more of a goatee guy when you do grow it in, right?
No, it just looks like a goatee. I have it all the way in up to my ears and around. It's just getting really light.
Do you manscape often? Do you have to? Being Italian, this is what I could mostly grow now. I have to keep up with this.
I shave my head and I do my face regularly. I mean, it varies. I mean, I don't do it any more frequent than every other day, but sometimes I'll go 3 or 4 days. It depends what I have going on.
Me going into the office now, but, you know, facial hair is more accepting over the last like 10 years than it used to be. For me, I'll go back and forth buzzing my head. Sometimes I'll bick it. I don't really bick the top. I buzz it in the face. I take the beard trimmer, different levels. And sometimes I just clean up my cheek in my neckline. That's it. I don't really.
Yeah, no, I do the razor to the head. I don't use a bick. I use Harry's. Harry's razor.
I know what those are.
And to my neck and to my cheek. And then I just trim my face.
Do you use cleansers or any type of ointments? Do you use any creams? Do you use aftershave?
The only cream I use is I use the cream on my feet. I put cream on my feet every day. And sometimes I put it on my head. And so much that I talk to people about it that someone actually gave me a bottle of cream to put on my feet. Do you see?
It says whipped body cream. It sounds kinky.
Fragrance-free whipped body cream, pure goat milk. And then someone else gave me this miracle foot repair cream for dry, cracked feet and heels, 60% ultra aloe. I alternate between the two of these. I like to have soft feet. I was actually talking with someone the other day, and they're like, wow, you really are like metrosexual. And I said, what? And because then I actually was talking to them about how I have my folding board and I fold my clothes. And they're like, geez, I'm connecting the dots. I'm like, what is it? And they said, well, you're a metrosexual. I said, well, actually, no, I'm not. I said, but would you rather have me be a guy that like has sandpaper feet that rubs across your leg and it hurts? Or nice soft feet? Or would you like to come into my closet and see my closet with clothes thrown all over the place that I, you know, in any order, that I'm a slob and I have trash in my house? Or would you rather see someone who's actually neat and takes care of themselves? People don't understand the value of self care.
I agree.
You have to take care of yourself. Mentally, I agree. Physically, I tell everybody, your life is like a cart, right, with four wheels. You have your mental life, your professional life, your personal life, and you have a physical life. And just like the little cart when you go to the store, if one of those fucking wheels gets stuck, like all of us always do, we always get the one cart that has the wheel, and that's what happens to your life. So you have to take care of yourself.
You know, we didn't plan on talking about this, but now that you're talking about feet, you know me, like you, I take care of myself as well. My feet are pretty smooth. Here's one issue I have. Well, actually, two, possibly three. Let me get your take on this. Let me get your professional foot take on this. Without grossing out the audience too much. My girl knows about this, so I'm not grossing out anyone too much. About 9 years ago, my feet are clean. Dude, I always showered at home. I never really showered at the gym because my gym was like down around the corner. I never put my feet in public areas, even when I'm like in a hotel shower. I try to be very cautious. When I'm in a hotel, I'll have socks on or sneakers or slippers. I don't walk around barefoot even on the rug. So I'm pretty hygienic, as you know, well, like you. About 9 years ago, though, this is before I started all my mud race training. I started that in about 2012. So this is about 2011. I started getting a pain on the bottom top left of my left foot. And I couldn't see what it was. I couldn't figure it out. I went to see a foot specialist. What the hell? What's the foot doctor?
A podiatrist.
A podiatrist.
And come on now. You're the co-host of a famous, world-famous podcast. You should know some of the basic terms.
You're the co-host, and you should know this shit, and this is why I come to you. So I go to the podiatrist, and then I go down there.
Podiatrist or the podiatrist?
Podiatrist, and she looks at my foot. And now let me know if you ever heard of this. I don't know if we talked about this in the past, because we were friends way before this even happened to me. I had a plantar wart. A plantar wart, you really can't see anything. It doesn't grow outside the skin. It grows inward. The root grows like a nail inside your foot. And it's happens where your foot gets exposed to some sort of a bacteria. Like even if you walk around, I thought it was my very old apartment, my first Boston apartment. It was an old building. It was even older than my last brownstone. So I couldn't figure it out. It became so painful walking on it that I had to get something done. So I had to go see her every 2 weeks for 4 months. So she would cut it open, dig out the root, and then put an ointment in, let it heal up. 2 weeks later, I come back and I would do that. It fucking sucked. It was one
That's
of the
nasty.
Most tedious things I've ever had to deal
with. Did you try one of those little things to freeze it off and stuff like that? Listen, I get so worried about some of that stuff. So I really do, like, if you understand with me and the whole gym thing, I actually, like, my gym has, like, the sanitizer things. You have the disinfectant spray. I always wipe everything down like that. But they also have, like, that antibacterial stuff, like, a couple different places. Like, I'm the type that when I'm excuse me. Wow, I had a frog came into the room. Did you see that? I'm the type that will, after my workout, get the antibacterial soap and just always wipe it on my hand. And I also sometimes, if I like were to be on the ground or something, I'll wipe it on my arms or something if it touched the ground, because I do not want to get like a little fungal rash, because the gym is actually one of the places where
you know, we're talking about feet. Do you walk around the gym barefoot?
No.
Do you shower at the gym?
No, I will never shower at the gym.
See, I'm the same way. So I didn't know how I got that. Now, let's fast forward a few years later. After all my mud races, my mud race training and all this shit, I developed, and I still can't get rid of it, on my baby toe on my left foot, back to the left foot, a callus that it's hard and I can't cream it. I can't use that fucking brick, you know, that makes like you can sand things down on your foot. Rest of my foot smooth, clean, toenails are nice. I got a one callus on the corner of my fucking baby toe that every time now to this day, because I introduced a new pair of gym sneakers into my routine about 2 weeks ago, even a fresh pair of new sneakers, comfortable all over, when I start running in them, that fucking callus starts acting up. I cannot get rid of it, man. I cannot. I don't know if I should go back to the podiatrist for that too. I don't know.
Go to the podiatrist, maybe they can freeze it off, cut it out, or maybe you get one of those little like soft little bunion type things with the circle around it.
And I did that. I put that around it for a little while and it was working, but it'll come off throughout the day. So now fast forward to like also on top of this, my right foot. I hope it's not another plantar wart, but every time I walk around barefoot now, when I put my right foot down, the bottom, I feel like a slight pain, but not like what the plantar wart felt like. Again, you know me, I talked about you, my whole stomach scan, all this shit. I'm just chalking all this shit up to just aging. We talk about this all the time. You can't
And this is why I tell everybody all the time, Tom Brady needs to go, because he can say he wants to play until he's 45, but he cannot escape from Mother Nature.
What if Tom Brady, like me, because we're the same age, he's 2 weeks old. What if he woke up tomorrow with a fucking plan as what? That goes his whole career. Like, I hear what you're saying. This shit is happening. You can't go on forever. So, yeah, that's some of the shit I'm dealing with. But, yeah, I don't know if you listened to the podcast yesterday, but I told you earlier in the week off the podcast, I had my stomach scan, a CT scan, where I had to drink the iodine, where I had to get the fucking IV iodine. Have you ever had a stomach scan? Have you ever get that shit done with that iodine in your body in the car? Oh, man. It is, it's one of the worst fucking things. Like, it's not a painful experience, the actual test itself. The whole thing is about 5 minutes. But I had that, and then one more thing came back. My stomach scan, normal. Everything's coming back fucking normal. I don't know what it is, Bilo.
Could be mental. Could be nerves. They won't be able to trace that stuff.
Could be.
But if you talked about that, I told you, I don't listen. If I see that you talked about something that I thought would be good for us to talk about, I don't listen. So I told you, I saw the Antonio Brown line, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not listening, because that would have been perfect.
You are not listening to your own fucking podcast. The podcast that you come on, the podcast that you are a co-host, you cannot fucking listen to.
I'm not on that, because you think the material is perfect, because we were texting about the fishbowl. I call everybody fish cracker now. It's great.
You're freezing, Bilo. What are you doing?
I mean, the saying's great. Hysterical. The
you call everyone a cracker now? Is that what you were saying?
I call a lot of people fish. That was going.
Yes.
So yeah. So no, I call everybody fishbowl cracker now. Not everybody, but I call some people, because it's hysterical. Use line. But like I said, the whole thing with him, it's hysterical to watch. Sadly, but the whole situation is just sad. Because this is like a great football player, right? He's one of the best out there, right? And he's just trash. Like, he's not a good role model. Now his kid can watch a video of him ranting and raving on his front lawn to the police officers and to his baby mama or whatever she is to him. It's just sad. It's really, really sad.
It's wasted talent.
The lack of respect that he has. The wasted talent, the lack of respect that he has for his child to record that and to do that, now that's there forever. And the lack of respect he has for law enforcement who were there that he called because they wanted her removed. Like, it's just like, it's just, he's a dumbass.
What I said on the solo podcast by myself on Tuesday, he's a racist son of a bitch. He clearly hates white people. He's calling, I think his baby mom is white. He's calling her a cracker. He's calling the cops fucking crackers. He's just fucking swearing at everyone. But you're right. On top of all that, you're swearing like that in front of your little kids. And then he's all like, bye, son. Like, bye, dad. He's like, I love you. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing in front of your kids, man?
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying that. So I wish we could have spoken about that. But we will not, because you talked about it. So from now on, wait. Oh, people, and I finished you. And I started watching Lost in Space.
People want to hear your take on some of the topics. So if I mention it and it's topical, this is how a podcast works, Bilo. You should talk about it if we bring it up on the fucking podcast. I've never seen a podcast between a host and a co-host with somebody to say, that's something I don't want to talk about. You're fucking up the podcast, and yet I'm going to bring something else up directly to you. A weekend, you have yet to post on Instagram. You have yet to share the podcast. Are you not committed to this fucking podcast, Bilo?
Listen, I will set that up. I've been busy.
This is part of it.
Things.
Why did you not share last week's podcast that you were on, if you don't want to share the solo ones?
Because I was going to get on and put it on the Instagram account, and I did not have the opportunity to do it because I chose to do other things.
Yeah, you chose to take fucking photography setups like a fucking still imagery. You managed to do that and set that up.
Oh, you saw those pictures, didn't you? Those look pretty good, right?
So you can put that time and effort in, but you can't do it for the podcast. So don't give me that shit.
I will do it. I apologize. And please do not yell at me with profanity and vulgarity. I get offended by that.
What am I, Antonio Brown? I can't swear for people. You cracker. You cracker ass cracker. Speaking of football, yeah. Something I want to get into. Obviously, the playoffs are well underway. Our Patriots are long gone. We know about how I feel about Tom Brady. We know how you feel about Tom Brady. It's complete opposite. But the whole – given today, right? Given to the quarterbacks that are left, who do we have back? Who do we have left, right? Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes, and Ryan Tannehill. Who would have thought that he'd be in the fucking playoffs after leaving Miami Dolphins? Now, out of those four, because this is probably a three-part question, who would you call elite? Pause, because think about who's already proven themselves. Those four in the playoffs, who would you call elite right now?
I like Mahomes, and I like Rodgers.
Yeah, but is Mahomes elite? Has he proven himself yet?
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm looking at the quarterbacks that I like that are left. Now, define what you're saying. Define elite. Look at what I mean. It's difficult to say you're elite if you're a rookie. When are you relatively new to the NFL? Because Mahomes hasn't really even played. I mean, I'd still call him a rookie because he got injured and he sat out. Right. So he is showing that he has some talent. He is. I actually look at like also to be.
So I'm not. I am not unediting this, ladies and gentlemen. In the middle of this fucking podcast, B-Lo is texting a bunch of fucking bruns. So I know he's blown up my podcast because he wants to fucking do that. So I'm gonna get right into this before we get back to the fucking football conversation. Because now this is as real as TV can get. You are now going to be forced to talk about your little fucking dating adventures because you're interrupting my motherfucking podcast with some nonsense.
I am not interrupting your podcast. You cannot blame me for texting for causing your internet issues.
God, why are you not sweat? Why are you not focused on the podcast?
I'm focused on the podcast.
But you are texting through your computer to a bunch of scandalous fucking whores on a fucking dating app right now. Are you not?
I'm not on a dating app. Number one. Number two, it's text message. And three, I don't know any scandalous whores.
They're all scandalous whores because I know how you are. And it's fucking, you're doing it during the middle of the fucking podcast. And for some reason, we're freezing. So to my mind, I don't know what else you have open. You can have fucking some fucking porn site in the background for all I know. You're freezing the fucking whole podcast.
No.
Now, the audience has no idea why we're going in the middle of this fucking tirade, but I had to bring up the speed because I'm not doing this shit. Back to fucking football. Can you pay attention now, B-Lo? Reel it back in.
Yeah, I have one more message to reply to. It's important. But I'll do that in the next break.
What break? This isn't a play. All right, you were saying you think Patrick
Mahomes. And I met my future wife, by the way. I said I'd never get married again, but I met my future wife. Do you ever meet that one person?
Yes, that just, I have. Like, we'll get into that after the football conversation. All right, I'm going to bring that right up. Right after
40
that.
Fucking 9,000 years, man.
Just so we're staying on topic for the audience.
We're not staying on topic. Go back to the football. We'll talk about that
next week. That's what I'm doing. Anyway, back to football. You said Patrick Mahomes, you think, is your favorite. But you're right. He's not proven, so I wouldn't call him elite. Aaron Rodgers, you got to make him elite because he's proven in the league, proven in the playoffs, won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but see, and what I really like too is I like Mahomes is actually a good role model. Rodgers is a good role model. You know, I look at that type of stuff. Like, you're an athlete, you're out there. I mean, it takes more than just being a dumbass on the field like Brown. I mean, a dumbass and then being good on the field like Brown. It takes to me, to be elite, you have to be elite in all areas of your life.
So would you call, even though he got eliminated early and he still hasn't won in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback or kind of like Mahomes not quite proven yet? Regardless of who you
I think he's not. I don't think he's proven yet.
All right, so outside of the four remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs, let's just talk about the ones eliminated. Who would you consider are the elite quarterbacks left in the NFL? Regardless of people who may retire or not, I'm trying to prove a point here. Who are the top five elite quarterbacks overall that you think in the NFL? Because I'm going to make your name somebody.
No, I'm not. We're done with this conversation.
But who would you give the ball to?
I say Brady should retire. I'll get what you want me to say now. I think that Brady should retire, but I do think that Brady is a great quarterback. Has been a great quarterback for a long time. He's been a good role model. You've never heard him in the news doing anything but positive things. You know, he's out showing his, he's out with his kids doing great things. He's out with his family doing great things. With his mom doing great things on the field. All those types of things, the positive things that our world needs. On top of that, he is a good quarterback on the field.
See, I will say this. I'll end it with this because you know my love for Tom Brady. Regardless of being a Pats fan and my love for the Patriots, right now, Tom Brady, about to turn 43 years old, if the game was 27-24, and we needed somebody to drive, actually 27-23, because you're down by four. I'm not going to make it a field goal. 27-23 in the fourth quarter. And as you're texting, again, I know there's not a break, B-Lo. If you're fucking, you're down 24, if you're down 27-23, I would give the ball to Tom Brady with 2 minutes left. There's no other quarterback today I would give the ball to drive down the field and win the fucking game. Who would you give the ball to if not Tom Brady?
Who would I give the ball to if not Tom Brady?
Nobody else can do that. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know.
I don't know. I like Drew Brees. I like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you're only half paying attention to this podcast because you're fucking...
I'm not paying. I'm staring right at you. My hands, look, you want me to, I'm going to keep my hands up behind my head.
If like I heard the clicking, the audience clearly heard the clicking. So now I'm going to put the whole podcast on hold. B-Lo, are you texting the love of your life? What is going on? What is so important in this texting? What is this girl saying to you that you're taking up my time and the audience's time right now?
I'm not texting anybody.
Yeah, you are. You are admitted to it. So what is going on? What's going on, B-Lo? Tell the audience.
Nothing. Hey. Nothing.
You clearly we'll don't tell about the podcast. She's not going to find out about it. So...
You never know.
What do you have going on?
No, did your girlfriend find out about the podcast?
Yes.
And okay. How was she with it when she first learned about it?
She wasn't the happiest person, but she had to learn about it. She did. She accepted it. And then she even became on the fucking podcast. I've delivered.
She hasn't been on the podcast. I'm waiting to interview her.
You don't listen to the solo ones. If you did listen to my Festivus grievances, she was right next to me the entire time. And she gave her grievances. So this is how committed you are to this podcast. I think I'm going to fire you and get a new fucking co-host because you're not committed to this podcast. You don't share it. You don't listen to it. You text during it. What the fuck? I mean, what are you contributing here? You tell me. What are you contributing to the T podcast, B-Lo?
People like to listen to me talk to you.
I don't know.
And I don't think anybody wants to hear you berating and humiliating me and being condescending the entire time.
I don't think anybody wants to hear that the world's greatest co-host is not 100% into the podcast.
Okay. I'm 100% into this podcast for the next 15 minutes.
Then you're going to go back to your texting.
And then we're going to start talking about some of the lots of good things.
All right. I got a big story for you that I'm going to get right into because I want to get this on the air, and then I want to get your reaction to it. So I'm going to do a little bit of talking here.
Are you having a baby?
No, I'm having a baby. So I want to know how you would have handled this. Let me just... It's a long story, but
I'm going to mute myself so I do not distract you.
If I see you fucking typing, you're clearly not muted because you cough right into the microphone. Thank you very much. All right, B-Lo.
I thought it was muted because it was blinking. Oh, I can press the mute up here. It's actually better. I didn't mean to cough. Okay, I'm going to mute myself, not typing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, B-Lo the co-host has muted himself because he's only 50% into this week's podcast, and I'm going to air this live like this. So you can go back one day and listen to how he half-assed this one. Me, on the contrary, I'm going to give you one hell of a fucking story, and you get to know me, T, and B-Lo's reaction to what I handled. So it's a known fact that in the T Palace, I don't take out my Kyle Wesley Snipes until like the weekend, Monday through Friday. I go to work, never really move my car. My car is usually parked.
Named your car Wesley Snipes. That is silly.
Remember how you're going to mute yourself? Literally, I was 2 seconds into the story. So Wesley, who I love, again, Wesley 2.0, because it's the newer version of the last one I had, is sitting in my garage that I pay money to park the car. So I parked it last Sunday after I ran out. Every Sunday, I'm pretty routine. I leave my girlfriend's house. I go, come back. I feed Tigger. I go pick up my mails. I go to the cemetery to see my mom. I go wash my car. I come home. I put my mails away. I go work out. So my car was in the garage as of like 11 a.m. last Sunday. This past Friday night, I go to get my car finally. So as the last time I saw it was Sunday, I go to get my car to go pick up my girlfriend. I get in my car, B-Lo. I sit in the car. Like you, I'm very OCD. I know how I leave things. I know when things are touched, when things are moved, when things are out of order. I get into my car. B-Lo, I'm the only one with keys. Not my girlfriend, not my sister, not somebody in my building. I'm the only one that drives Wesley Snipes. I get into my car, B-Lo, and my steering wheel is turned. I don't park my car with the steering wheel turned. I also get out of the car. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm looking around. There's somebody in my fucking car. Like, I think I'm about to fucking get knife from behind. One of my enemies from the past coming back. I get out of my car, B-Lo. excuse me, I stand up, I look, my wheel is turned. Obviously, if my steering wheel is turned, my tire is going to be turned. So my tire is turned. So I now get out, walk around my car, B-Lo. I walk around my car looking for things. I look to see if there's any damage. I look to see if there's something out of the ordinary. The last time I parked my car, it was washed. It was pristine. My car's indoors all week. It should still be pristine. I walk around. There are handprints, smudge marks all over my fucking car, on the hood, on the side, on the back, near the doors, all over it. Smear marks, smudge marks. I touched them. Black marks on my fingers. Somebody with dirty hands was definitely doing something to my car. So I got to pause. I know my girlfriend's waiting for me. My initial reaction is, what? What could have happened? Well, I park in the resident area. My garage is also open to the public. I park in the resident area. There's the elevator that I take, the residential elevator, to go up. I'm looking around to see where there's cameras. So I'm like, all right, something happened to my car. I drive and see if everything's out of the ordinary. Think it felt right to me. I stop at the parking garage attendant that's in the office. I go and I go, hey, buddy. I go, do you have cameras? Because somebody messed with my car. And he didn't know what to say. I go, it's not a difficult question. Do you have cameras? Somebody messed with my car. It was out of order. Either somebody moved it, somebody tried to move it. Something happened to my car. He goes, nope, we don't have cameras. The building does. So I pay a separate bill to the garage every month for to park there. And I pay, obviously, my rent to my building. So I thought it was a separate entity. So he goes, you got to go talk to your concierge. My concierge, they have all the cameras. Fine. I was always running late to meet my girlfriend. So I leave. I go pick her up. I tell her the next day I come home. Saturday morning, I go see my concierge. I tell one of my main guys, say to the main guy, long story short, the one I just explained to the audience, I tell them the same thing. I go, they said, come see you. I need to see the cameras. I need to see what happened to my car between last Sunday at 11 a.m. and last night, Friday at 7 p.m. Somebody messed my car, smear marks, all this shit. He goes, all right. He goes, and I look up behind the counter with him. There's only one camera. It's the camera from the elevator that I go up. He goes, it's going to take some time to pull it back. Hopefully, they'll record it. I go, you do what you need to do. Let me know. He goes, I'll let you know. If you don't hear anything over the weekend, come back Monday morning. The whole weekend, B-Lo goes. I'm still unsettled that something happened to my car, and I'm steaming inside. Because like you, like me, you don't fuck with somebody's shit. And I don't know what happened at this point, considering what I paid to park my car there. So Monday morning, I'm leaving. I talk to the concierge, the other guy in the morning. I go, I'm trying to follow up what happened to my car. He's like, we're still looking at the footage. He goes, we should have an interview today. Somebody from the front office will call you. This is more of the runaround. Monday comes and goes. Nobody fucking calls me, B-Lo. I come home Monday night. I go, what's up? What happened? Nobody got back to me. They're like, oh, so-and-so from the office didn't call you. I go, no. I go, I want to know. Tuesday morning, I go back downstairs to leave to go to work. I'm already learning a little bit behind to get to the office for that day. I go to the guy. I go, look, I got the runaround. Nobody's giving me answers. I go, what happened to my car? He goes, oh. He goes, the maintenance, the main garage guy, the GM, I'm going to call him on the radio. He steps away. He's like, oh, so-and-so's here to see. He's asking about the car, blah, blah, blah. It's real low. I couldn't hear anything on the radio. He comes back. He goes, the woman upstairs, her name, whatever, she's going to call you. I go, oh, no. What happened to my fucking car? So he tried to explain it to me. I'm not going to give the audience or you that explanation because it was like, what? I go to work, steaming what they had. Finally, the woman from the office is supposed to call me. The whole day passes, B-Lo. 4 o'clock, she finally calls me. She explains to me what happened. Here's what happened to my car. Apparently, my car was parked above a manhole. A manhole that a contractor had to get into and do some work, some routine garage work. Wasn't an emergency. At some point, instead of, I don't know, blocking those spots ahead of time to be proactive so nobody parked there, instead of calling me to say, can you come move your car? You know what they did, B-Lo? They took my car and they moved it out of the spot. Now, at that point, the guy couldn't explain to me, but the woman did. Basically, I'm like, so what did you do? Did you tow my fucking car? Did you jack it? I'm thinking there's undercarriage damage. I'm thinking you could have fucked up the frame. Either way, your go-to solution, there's four things you could have done before that, was to jack up my car without contacting me. Here's the best part, B-Lo. They put it back in the same fucking spot, and then they never even told me. It was like concealing a crime. So now I'm like, what? I was irate. She called up. She said she told the garage person, the GM, she was pissed at them. I go, there better be some restitution. Something needs to happen because I'm about to go to that office. And again, this is what the Eastie and me did come out, B-Lo. I go, I'm going to crack somebody's fucking head open. She goes, the person around the garage will call you by the end of business today, which was a half hour away at the time. He didn't call me. This morning, I get the call. The head of the garage, the GM, calls me up about 10:15, 15 minutes before I got to go to a meeting in my office. He says my name, introduces himself. He goes, first of all, I want to apologize what happened with your car. I go, I appreciate your apology. I go, I'm very calm. I'm like, yell, I'm not raising my voice. I go, you got to tell. He was like, what can we do to fix this? I go, what can we do? I go, first of all, tell me what happened to my car. He explained thoroughly. It wasn't towed, nothing. They have things called a floor jack. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they usually keep that available for when cars are being valeted. They put the car on the floor jack to get another car out. They already had that on site. So they used the floor jack to move my fucking car. And then they put it back in. So it wasn't towed. There's nothing that goes under the undercarriage. It's like roller skates that go up in the tire and you actually.
Yeah, but is it. Was this pre-planned or was this an emergency?
No, it was an emergency. The contractor, they just knew it. They were coming that day and it was an emergency. So here's my other thing, right? One, you should have called me.
I would be bullshit, number one, because you don't know what those fucking idiots did to your car. Number two, if they knew that they were coming, they should have had a notice. Even more so, somebody should have left a note saying, hey, we had to move your car for work, such and such, whatever. I mean, I would have been pissed too, but like I said, there's so many things that they did that's wrong there.
So many things.
I mean, like I said, if it was an emergency, like there was something in that manhole cover that was going to cause damage or was causing a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like if there was like work that needed to be done because the building would have blown up or something.
Yep.
Yes, move the car. Or if there's like water leaking somewhere or there's a potential for like damage or hazard or something like that. Yes, I understand. But totally. If it's regular routine work, I would have had someone's ass and I would have made them clean my car.
Bilo, it gets better. So again, he's asking me how. So again, like you, I said all the same things. Like, why didn't you block off the spots ahead of time? Why didn't you contact me to move my car? Why didn't you let me know you moved my fucking car? So I go, the person that clearly made this decision, I go, was it you? He goes, no. I go, well, I want that person fired. He goes, it's already taken care of. They will not be working in this garage ever again. I go, good. I go, he goes, so we're offering to detail your car. I go, you think it's going to stop there? I go, I'm going to take you up on that offer. He goes, you can leave order attendant or bring it over yourself. I go, do you think I'm going to leave my car with any of your people? He goes, I totally understand. I go, I'll work out a date with you when to do that. I go, but also, do you think we're done here? I go, how about this? How about I got in my car and I called the fucking cops because I thought it was vandalized? You're lucky I didn't call the fucking cops. You're lucky I didn't lose my cool and crack the head open of the fucking guy that was in the garage. And I go, honestly, I go, this whole thing leaves a sense of, I'm being unsettled that I leave my car with you people because you got donkey brain people that go-to decision was to do that first as opposed to all the alternatives that I just named and you just named, right, Bilo? So you have a bunch of idiots working for you. He goes, that person's gone. We're going to detail the car. He's like, what else can we do to make this right? I go, me thinking my lease is up in 6 months in this building. I go, in 5 months. I go, I want 5 months parking free. And it's a lot of money, like $345 a month parking. He goes, I don't know if I can do that. I go, you don't know if you can do that, but you knew damn well that you could move my fucking car, didn't you? He goes, how about a few months? I go, what's a few? He goes, 3 months? I go, I'll settle with that. 3 months, the person lost their job, and you're going to detail my car. All right, let's leave it at that. I go, I want it in writing. I want it that you're going to fucking comp me those next 3 months. They detailed me, and I want this documented that you're admitting fault because if somewhere down the line my car feels like a wheel alignment, something happened, I'm assuming you did put it up on those floor jacks, but I don't know if there's something that happened. I want that all documented. He sent me an email. So what else could I have asked for?
At least he's making some restitution. I know they fucked up because you can't really just go around moving people's cars.
No.
It's not an emergency. Wow, I would have got a new car.
Dude, all these scenarios are playing in my head, like, and this is where I'm really proud that I don't lose my cool like I once did. I was waiting for them to get like moldy with me and like something. I was totally picturing myself snapping the gate that goes up and down in half off the fucking garage. I wasn't gonna cause damage to the garage. I was going to cause damage to the people that work there. I was popping the trunk and taking the baseball bat out. I was seriously going to hurt someone. I was going to go to jail. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, you probably going to have to bail me out. I didn't want her to see that side of me, but am I in the wrong kid? Like, that was a whole bunch of things. That was like the perfect storm.
No, like I said, I would have been upset. I would have been upset if that happened to me.
So my thing to you is, like, you clearly gave your reaction. So listen to audience, guys out there, even ladies, but guys, we have a, you know, we love our cars, right? You got a brand new car, you pay X amount of dollars to park it in the garage, you have a lot of trust, right? You trust the building to leave it there. What would you have done? I'm curious. Reach out to me on the podcast. I'll give the information at the end, but I want to know what other people would have done. Would you have lost your shit? Would you have just been like, oh, whimper in the corner, like, oh, they had to do what they had to do? Or would you have fucking just been like, oh, I'm cracking your fucking head open? Or negotiate some sort of restitution like I did? But I want to know what other people thought. So yeah, that was a long-ass story, but I had to share that on the podcast. So there you go. I say that.
Yeah, that was a long story. That was a long story.
I don't have much for Strictly Dickly topics. I do have one more sports related topic, but do you?
You know, I have a question for you, and I want to keep this brief.
As you're still texting. As the dead air goes on, because you know we're doing a podcast. Holy shit.
I love you. That's all I have to say. All right, I'm done for a few minutes. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And this is not anything to do with, like.
Yes?
If you get into a relationship with somebody, right? A person.
Okay. We won't strictly dickly.
We can extrapolate from this any way we can. And the gender is not relevant here. Okay?
Okay.
You go into a relationship with somebody, they have a child. Right? How long should it be, or under what conditions is it that you meet that child or children? All right, I say a child.
Well, I feel like we talked about this on the podcast before. But if we didn't,
if we didn't, I was just thinking about this today.
Well, because I think I've talked about this here in the past. I dated single moms, not a lot of them, but a few, and. You know, one I dated a long time ago when we were kids, when we were teenagers, and then we reconnected years later. And she had two kids. And in the middle of us dating again, casually dating, I probably was like in the second or third month that she wanted to do something with the kids and bring the kids out. And I got to meet the kids at, we went to the circus. So it's one of those things where I think it's going to be case by case. Like, I don't know. Like, if you are going as the parent, if you are going to bring your kid around me or anyone who is not a parent, you got to be sure that they're going to be around long term. Because I would question your parenting skills. Like, why would you bring your kids around casual people that aren't going to be there long term?
Exactly.
Because
exactly,
it's a free night at the circus. It's a free meal. It's a free fucking cotton candy.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think, I mean, age is relevant. Because I had this conversation with someone the other night, right? And not so much to this point. I think there's a couple things that are relevant. Because I actually had this conversation with a couple different people. Age may be kind of relevant because I was talking with someone the other night and this came up in a casual conversation, and they have an older child, and they said, you know what? They come and go. I can't control it, because if I'm going to want to go sit at my house, you know what I'm saying? Like you can't control it. And they're going to randomly, you know, have the chance to run in and see you, because they can go back and forth. They can do whatever. They're like, I can't put my life on hold when the child's older. Right. But also I said, you know what? It's right. When the child's like maybe 17, 18, 19 or whatever, is old enough to drive and go out. They also understand life too at that point, mostly, right? They just want to, they don't want to see, you know, I don't think you should be a parent who's like trashy or something like that. But if they know that their parent is going to date, or they understand that and they don't look like they're dating a million different people, then that's fine. But when they're younger, you know, that's actually like, even like you have the attachment issues, you have the impression issues. And like you said, I don't think you should bring any schmuck around. And I also think if you have a small child, and then you get to the point in a relationship, one of them is in a point to a relationship where the person's going to be around in that child's life. Because if I had a small child, and like, I'm a male, so I can say the mother. So I said, I know gender is not a part of it, but if I had a small child with someone, and see my phone blowing up too, and she was going to have somebody come around my child that was small, I'd want to meet the motherfucker. So I knew who and what was going to be around my child when I'm not there. And I think as a parent, you have that right. I mean, you can, I'm not to say that you can say they can date them or not date them, but you have the right to know who's going to be in the place where your child's living, sleeping, eating, dressing, washing, living, and to make sure they're okay.
So my buddy, and he won't mind me talking about this, and he listens to the podcast. He's engaged now, but he had a kid at in his early 20s, and it didn't work out with him and the kid's mom. So he had his daughter all through his 20s. So they broke up by the time his daughter was like around 3 or 4. So for the next like 6-7 years, he would casually date. Then he got into a somewhat serious relationship, but he felt like that girl, even for like 6-7 years, was never going to be long term. He never brought girls around his daughter because he knew they weren't going to be around long term.
You remember you telling me this?
He gave up all his weekends because that's only when he got his daughter. Like, he was so committed to raising her and doing that. But yeah, that kind of influenced me, where, again, I've never been a single parent. When I got into dating with single moms, I looked at it from that lens. What type of mom is this? Is this mom basically going to give up, like, oh, I got my mother that's going to watch my kids so I go potty with this guy, meaning me, every weekend? Or am I going to bring my kids around to every single guy? That put it in my head where I was finally able to get over that and want to date just a single mom here and there. But I had his mentality of like, I'm in my relationship now, but if I were ever to look at like my life back and any time I dated like a single parent, I was old enough to say I wasn't looking at what I was getting out of the girl in that relationship. If she was a mom to those kids that weren't my kids, the way she treated those kids and the time she spent with me, in the back of my head, if I ever had a kid with her, was she going to treat my kids the same way? And a lot of those single moms, man, like, no, long story short, I would not bring my little kids around somebody casual. If it's somebody that I
feel I agree with you. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. It's, and that's what I was saying. It's, and that's where it comes up.
So leaving Strictly Dickly, one last sports topic, and then we'll wrap up the show because it's been one hell of a clusterfuck of a show. I don't know what's
going on. It won't be a cluster. Shit, my shit's falling all over the place over here.
This is great. This is really good. I hope you listen to this podcast and really look at your performance, B-Lo. One last topic. The Boston Red Sox fired Alex Cora in one of the biggest baseball scandals of all time, cheating using technology and garbage cans. I love how they embrace technology, but the way the signal was tapping a garbage can, it'd be so much for technology. He's gone. Who do you like, or who would you want, a fan's dream, to be the next manager of the Boston Red Sox?
Tommy Lasorda. Can I make a comment on this? Can I make a comment on this, please? I'm not answering your question. I want to talk about that rather quickly, right?
What kind of a fucking response is that? It's a podcast.
I do not know, because someone asked me about this today, right? We're talking about this today. Someone asked me, and I said, they asked me a question, and I said, I do not understand why baseball did not change. Okay, excuse me. With technology and everything today, it's really difficult for the baseball to stick with the signs the way they're doing it today. I do not why they don't do what the NFL did and give earplugs with radio to the catcher and to the team, so they know what play is going to be called, because the catcher has a voice, a face mask, so they're not going to be able to read his lips.
Hold on. Unless are you equating that to the NFL with the quarterback helmet? Like getting,
yes, that's exactly what I just said. So they can actually run plays to the quarterback,
yeah,
right? Okay. They can run plays to the quarterback. He can audible and stuff like that on this field with just some keywords, but they're not going to pick up their whole playbook. I do not know why baseball doesn't do that. Baseball has the perfect thing. They can put things in their ears so that everybody can hear the play. The catcher still can make the calls, right?
Yeah, but if you do that, hear it. Unlike running a play in football, you still have to execute. There's many things that need to happen. Telling your pitcher what the catcher – I mean, telling the catcher – well, no, because it would be the batter. Wait, how is this going to work, Bilo? What the fuck are they telling the catcher?
The catcher calls the game right now, right? With the signals between his legs. Give him a microphone. He has a face mask on. Nobody can read his lips, right? You cut that out. Yeah. Give everybody on the field, right, an earpiece so they can hear what he has to say.
What's Bill? This is the opposite of what happened.
They can say high and outside, fastball, slider. Okay, we're gonna do a throw to second.
Yeah, but
base.
That's your team knowing what your catcher's calling. This whole scandal was the other team figuring out what the other catcher was calling, Bilo. that gives you an unfair advantage. That's not the use of the technology. You're using it wrong. Do you even know how fucking Facebook works?
I know how Facebook works.
Bilo, this T podcast number 133 is going to be called The Clusterfuck. Between the technology issues we're having and you being all over the place, this is a fucking mess. Real quick, so I can end this clusterfuck of a podcast, who do you want to be the Red Sox's next manager?
T.
I know sports. I'd be, you know, I thought about that, you know, but I think more of a football. I'd be a better football coach than baseball. Because I take this topic more seriously than you, I would like to see Jason Varitek be called to give a 2-year deal.
Oh, Tech coming back to Boston. That would be something. Is he still with Heidi Watney? Remember when they had that whole big thing going on?
No, yeah, he left his wife to cheat on her, but then he left her for this bartender that I used to know in Boston that he's still married to. So he's with this bartender that's like 15 years younger than him. They have like kids now and shit. Anyway, all that personal shit aside, I would love to see Jason Varitek become the next coach of the Boston Red Sox. Bilo, I am wrapping up this fucking podcast. This was a clusterfuck. Bringing it to an end. Do you want to tell the listeners where to find you, Bilo? Because all they're going to go to and see a little silhouette with no post. But are we ready, Bilo?
I'm going to post something, and people should send messages on what they're going to post. And I'm going to actually start taking pictures when we're doing this stuff and post them on there. Not without seeing faces, though. I know you don't like that. It is Bilo the co-host on Instagram.com. Thank you.
Bilo the co-host, all one word, on Instagram to find Bilo. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. That was the show for Thursday, January 16th, 2020.
I love you, man. Next week will be a little more organized.
That was the T Podcast, number 133, a.k.a. The Clusterfuck. Bilo, I'll talk to you next week. Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to both T and Bilo on the T Podcast every Thursday on iTunes and tblog.com. You can send comments and questions along to both T and Bilo at t@t-blog.com. That's t@t-blog.com. The show has now ended. T and Bilo have taken it there.